course. If you'd like it, it's yours now.
Well, no, I just asked.
I gave each one of you one. Yeah.
Okay, well, then I could take it home and read it. I guess that was my question.
No, it's yours. To do what you want with it. My dad had it, and I copied it.
All right, we will now reconvene our meeting out of recess. The next item on our agenda is the contract discussion with Dave Smith from Dave's Electronics. So, Dave, if you could come forward. Have a seat.
All the way forward.
All the way forward.
Right. You're in the hot seat there.
That's okay.
So I guess we are going to be discussing your contract or contract proposal for the Kismet site with the use of your
What I did, I put that truck up there and just put on your guys' bill $2,000 a month for the truck. I figured that was a good ballpark price. The word I got was you guys wanted justification of that. So what I did is just looked up box truck rentals for a truck approximately that size, and they go anywhere from $1,400 to $2,700 a month, depending. Worth noting is that those trucks you can't bolt towers and things to and drill holes in the walls and run feed lines through. Plus, all the ones I found were fiberglass. That one is aluminum. For a communication building, a shield is really good to have when it's not actually a building for grounding purposes. But I'm open to whatever you guys feel is appropriate. I certainly don't want you to feel like you're being taken advantage of. On the other hand, I certainly don't think I did take advantage of you. So, and then you guys paid that charge for October, and you paid it for November, just so you know. So that's been paid in full.
Okay, so just
I'm getting used to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, please do. Recognize the chair. Recognize you. Right? Okay. So my understanding is that you are open to discussion on this contract?
And there is no contract. I was just putting it on as a line item. Okay. So there is no contract at this point.
Well, I think didn't Matt show up a potential contract?
Well, and that was you guys had two contracts with me. One is an ongoing contract for service for the sheriff's office and the fire department for your radio service.
Right.
That one expires the end of May. And there was also another one for the build out of the Harris system that
expired 12/31.
Correct.
Right.
So those were the contracts. And then there was discussion of Matt doing a contract for the truck, and that's kind of where it got left as far
as I'm
aware.
Okay, so in order to clear this
up.
Well, I guess for clarification, because on the agenda it says discussion of proposed contract at the Kismet site. Now, are we discussing two things, one of which is the contract for the truck at the Kismet site, and then the other is the Harris build-out?
My understanding was we were going to talk about the truck charge. I was under the impression you guys wanted to talk about
that. Right, that's my understanding.
And I have not made a contract proposal for that. I just did that as a line item.
Okay, so we're open to discussion on that.
Yes, and if you guys want a contract, that's fine. If you want a line item, that's fine. Please don't tell me to take it out of there because I can't. Not until the snow melts. Whatever you guys feel is appropriate there, I'm fine with. If you want to, I would very much like to talk about the continued build-out with the Harris system because that is ongoing and we're right in the middle of that. I have kept just kind of marching on that, assuming that we will come to some sort of direction or understanding. The last thing I want to do is walk away from that. We've put in a lot of work and a lot of effort, and there still is a hell of a lot of hand-holding that has to go on with that contract. Harris is still doing the same sort of stuff they've been at all summer. So,
well, how about we handle the contract or proposed or the anticipated contract for the truck first, and then when we get to the Harris build-out, I think it would be appropriate to have the sheriff and Shad join us at the table.
However you guys would like to do it.
Okay. You had a question, Mr. Loeb?
My question to Dave is, so the truck seems to be the focus of the topic here, but how much equipment in the truck is the county's and how much is yours? as far as the antennas.
No,
the
you guys own all of the radio equipment, sans the tower sections and the truck. I own the truck, the generator, the tower sections that are, it's a, got a big lift gate on it, and the tower is bolted to that. There's 20 feet of tower on it. You guys have bought and paid for all of the radios, the rack, the combiners, all the cabling, all the antennas, all the power equipment, all that stuff is your guys. And that's been detailed on your invoices.
So at this point, we're discussing the truck and the generator rental.
Right, and the generator is just sitting there in case we need it. It's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Other questions?
Well, I guess from a negotiation standpoint, is $2,000 your rock bottom price that you would
do
for us?
No, and the last thing I want to do is have you guys feel you're being taken advantage of. I just guessed when I did that number. Mm-hmm. Turned out when I went and Googled box truck rentals in Salt Lake City, because that was the closest
big city. I saw that.
We came up fairly ballpark that. But if you guys feel that's too much, that's great. Even if I got mad right now, or you guys got mad and told me, you know, pull it, there's nothing I can do. The truck's not going anywhere.
Sure.
So there's...
And we don't want to do that.
No, and I don't want to do that either. Yeah. So
what is the anticipated term or use of this truck?
My guess is it will be up there until we get our building in place. The nice thing about the truck, and there's a battery system in there that you guys paid for, we can unhook that power from the commercial power, and we can move that truck around on the mountaintop, and that system stays functional while we do that. So when we're up there doing the construction aspect of the project, cleaning and leveling the mountain, cleaning up the buildings, all that sort of stuff, taking the crane up, setting the new building, we can get in this thing and drive it around and move it so it's out of the way without downing our repeater systems while we do that. So that's extremely convenient, and that's part of the reason of putting it in a vehicle as opposed to a Connex box or something, which would work equally well up until the point when you want to move it. So
I guess we're looking at an anticipated time of,
I'm guessing, midsummer-ish. Okay. You know, it just depends on when we get all our ducks in a row and get the build out. But I think midsummer-ish is June, July, August, somewhere in there. Certainly hope it's gone before snowfall next year.
Sure. Well, having assumed the leader or the position of chairman, I have a little bit of obligation to the previous chairman and trying to be a little bit tight, trying to work the best deal that we can for the county.
All right, what do you think's fair? Should we cut it in half?
My first thought would be cut it in half and go from there.
Done.
My thought would be $1,000 a month.
Done.
Is that fair?
And I'll give you guys an invoice that'll show that for December.
That'll be fine. I'll say that'll be fine. Let's hear from the rest of the commissioners. No,
that's fine with me. It's a good thing I didn't speak earlier.
I'd have gotten a better deal.
You got a better deal. He's falling in Andy's footsteps.
My goal here is to make sure everybody doesn't feel like they were taken advantage of. And in hindsight, I should have sent you guys an email, said, hey, I'm doing this. What do you guys think? I hope it's okay. During the fire period and after the fire period, I was very hesitant to bug you guys or bug Shad with much of anything, because there's just a lot of stuff going on that was pretty important. It was real obvious to me from the mechanic standpoint, look, it's a no-go to not have some sort of a shelter up here. That one was convenient. I already had it. It was sitting. I built it in the hangar while we were waiting for the other site to burn. You know, there was a lot going on behind the scenes because it was pretty obvious which way it was going to go. So... and if it wouldn't have went that way and we wouldn't have lost the site, then it'd been a few days of work that we'd have been out, or I'd have been out, and that's fine. That was a risk well worth taking. So as soon as we were able to physically drive that thing up there, we put it up and got it online, and that was the goal.
Well, I certainly appreciate your not only your approach, but your willingness to work with us. Now, I think, Kerry, we have a contract that was a draft drawn up, and I suppose we could entertain a motion to approve that contract and just change the dollar amount to $1,000.
I spoke too soon, obviously.
And I'm not exactly
no, this was...
What contract do you have over there?
Contract between Sublet County and Dave's Electronics. Under services provided, the payment, I don't know who put this in, wasn't approved. The payment was what you suggested at $2,000 a month. My thought would be if we have this contract, have the commissioners review it, if they're satisfied with replacing the contract amount for $2,000, we could have a motion to accept the contract. And I'm assuming that this contract, the terms of this contract actually go through June 30th. It's likely that we may go beyond that.
You can extend it if you need to.
Yeah.
Leave it like that. It's worth noting that vehicle is not insured for contents. So you guys are going to want to make sure that your insurance is covering that up there. I don't think there's anything significant going to happen until spring lightning. Obviously, the site's not going to burn again, but you could have theft, vandalism. So just so you guys are aware of that.
Carrie, this is something that Matt drew up. Is that correct?
I don't know where that came from.
Okay, then rather than do it this time, I think we'll look at it.
Let's get it out.
And we'll have it ready for next.
That's fine.
Next meeting. Because I was given this, I was under the impression that Matt drew it up with the concern you have for the provision of the content, I think.
And it seems to me that Mary and I had a conversation in email. In fact, I know we did about the insurance thing, and Matt made that change in that contract and put that in there because the original version didn't specify.
Well, what it says, under insurance, it's got about contractors shall present documentation for proper and sufficient insurance coverage for all activities. It does not talk about, at least what I see here, about the content.
Right, and Matt's covered under my contract with you guys and my general liability that I've had since the very beginning.
Chad?
Just to address your earlier question, that contract did come from the county attorney's office, Matt Gaffney specifically.
Okay. So what I would ask, Carrie, if you could have Matt review this specifically to change the payment amount and make sure the question of Dave's concern about county insurance for the content is covered or at least addressed in this, then we should have this available for us to take action on at our next meeting in January. Is that satisfactory?
I'm easy. You guys are the ones that weren't satisfied, so...
Well, we're getting more satisfied. Are you guys satisfied?
Whatever it
takes. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Commissioner Bowser.
Keep from offending you guys.
I'm fine with the new number. But I think more importantly, moving forward, this kind of came to us out of the blue as a voucher. And I think the way this should work is Dave work on this through the sheriff and through Shad. And then they come to us with this as part of their project. Casey's our sheriff and Chad's our department head, and it should come to us through them and not directly through you.
Okay.
That's my thought.
However you guys would.
You cover these bases with them ahead of time, so when they come to us, you've talked about the price, you've justified the price, they bring it to us and we move forward.
And I agree with you. I think looking back with the Roosevelt fire, I think this thing came about out of a matter of urgency and trying to get done. And then we didn't have time to go through a contract, and it was something that was just done out of good graces. And that's where we are now. But I agree with you in the future that it ought to be handled through the department heads, which now that we are there, if you guys would like to come forward, maybe we can discuss the Harris rebuild or that contract, because apparently that expired 12/31.
It did.
So, Carrie, are you clear on this, what we need to do?
Yeah.
And you haven't had a chance to read the contract, but basically the dollar amount we'll have put in, and we'll have a chance to review it before we have a motion for it next meeting. And if you would like to look at this before Carrie or whatever, you're certainly. Yeah. Okay. I guess now what we're wanting to get into, and this is, I'm turning this over to both you, Sheriff, and you, Shad, in terms of helping lead this discussion, but. Dave's Electronics had a contract on the Harris build out from 4/1/2018 that expired on 12/31. And so I guess the question that we're looking at now is the extension of that contract, the date we need to activate that, and where we go from here. So whichever one of you gentlemen would like to take the lead, if you can talk to us, please.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I'm not sure on an exact date, but I know, from what I've seen, Dave's been an integral part from the birth of this, from the inception to now. Granted, some things didn't work out with Harris on fulfilling their part of their agreement and the contract, but I think, I mean, we'd be hard-pressed to find anybody else with Dave's experience and knowledge with this. He has been spot on everything that he's said, even from the get-go, with the FCC licenses, to the build-out, and I think his knowledge even surpasses some of the people that we're working with Harris. So I would strongly recommend extending the contract. As far as a date, I think that's something I probably need to discuss with Dave, Shad, and look at the Harris new proposal on the dates that they've given us.
Okay, would that have reference to a start date on this contract? Now, I guess what I'm asking, is there work going on now, or is it something that's in a holding pattern that we're going to resume in 2 months? Because apparently, according to the contract, there's a contract amount that you get paid monthly. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So we're dependent on you guys to fill us in. Shad, you want to add anything to that?
So I would concur with the sheriff's assessment. I agree that Dave has been integral to you know, moving this project forward, and we wouldn't be where we are right now. I rely very heavily on his judgment, and I would expect to continue to rely on his judgment as we continue this build out. As far as the question of the timeline goes, I think it'd be appropriate maybe a month by month contract until the build out is completed. But I leave that to the discretion of the board. But I think that my expectation is that we should be completed with the project midsummer, maybe August, or I hate to say it, but maybe in September, but in that general time frame. But my concern would be that I don't want to come back here again in June and then be in the same position that we're in right now, with there's still more work to be done.
So two questions I have that you're going to have to provide the answer and the information. You mentioned a month-by-month contract. Sheriff, you didn't weigh in on whether we do a six-month contract or whatever. That's one question. But the other question is, we're in the start of January. Does that contract need to be enacted for this month because of services being provided or anticipated services being provided? Because we don't have a contract for those services after December. So I need your guidance there.
Yeah, Chairman. So to answer that question, I believe yes. So we have already started work down at the Marbleton Sheriff's Office. That is probably going to be the first build out for the actual core, the server room and a dispatch center, which is slated to begin here at the end of January, 1st of February, depends upon the FCC licensing, and that's kind of what we're waiting on. It sounds like we're nearing a point where they're going to finalize that within the next couple of weeks. So I would recommend that we do start, or propose that we start this January and move on a month-by-month basis as needed.
Okay, so I'm hearing both of you say that we should pursue with Dave's Electronics on this Harris build-out on a month-to-month basis, meaning right now we need to entertain a motion to pursue with that contract from January 1st, 2019 till January 31st, and then we will retake that issue up again in February. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'd leave it to the discretion of the board, but I don't know if you need to revisit it every month. Is it possible to extend the existing contract until project is completed? I'm not sure how to best move forward with that, but yes, to answer your initial question, yes, we need a contract for January. I don't know how to best move forward, though, to make best use of your time to not have to return here every month and approve a contract.
That was my
question.
We want a month by month, but we don't want to revisit it every month.
Correct.
So I guess based on the recommendation from Casey and Shad, I move we extend the contract monthly as needed, and based on the recommendations of Shad and Casey, they let us know when it's done and it's done.
Monthly as needed for 6 months, monthly as needed for 1 year?
For up to what would be a safe. Six months, 9 months?
August, September. I mean, at that point, if we have to sit down and do this again, we sit down and do this again. You know.
Up to not to exceed 9 months.
Okay.
Second.
We have a...
So, Mr. Chairman, so I'm going to be careful how I ask these questions. So if the anticipation is this is going to be an ongoing project through June, July, August, or whatever it is, what is the reasoning we have to do this on a month by month basis? Why can't it be a 4 or 5 month basis? Because it looks to me like that's going to not catch the full time frame anyway, and after that point, then we could sit down and see where we're at. It'd be closer to the end, perhaps, and by then you could say, okay, we've got 2 more months, we can do the deal, and away we go.
Well, let me attempt to answer your question, and if I don't, I'm going to rely on Sheriff and Shad to do that. But I think in terms of this project, it's somewhat a moving target, and some of the things are contingent upon other activities, whether they happen or don't happen. In other words, well, help me out here, Shad. We're looking at something that potentially, could there be a halt to it? Is there a delay? Is there otherwise? What is the answer to that question?
We've shifted the emphasis of the current work to try to make best use of the wintertime months, and do work at the Marbleton SO building or the Pinedale Dispatch building while we're waiting for the weather to you know, melt the snow and dry the mud. But as soon as we can, we'll get the tower work done, but that won't be until this summer. But in the interim, there is work to be done in the sheriff's office, dispatch centers, and upgrading the cores. And so I think there's legitimately work to be done all winter long. And then as winter transitions and the snow opens up, then we'll have plenty of work to be done on the towers as well.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
My motion was meant to mean that we extend it up to a maximum of nine months, which should give us time to complete it. Mm-hmm. But if it's completed 7 months, the contract will end.
Sure.
And we won't be paying 2 months on a 9 month contract because there's no work to do. So I think that answers Doug's question.
Well, that does to the degree, but if I'm a David Smith and I got this thing month after month after month versus a 4 month period, that gives me a little bit more of ease, if you would, of doing what I'm going to be doing, knowing full well the project is going to continue past the 4 months or 5 months, whatever it is, whatever you guys think. It just, at least from my perspective, as an individual, putting together a contract, a little bit longer is better than a little bit shorter on the contract.
Well, as Commissioner Bowsman just said, the way the motion was formulated, it actually goes into a 9 month realm.
I understand that, but it's on a month to month basis within that 9 month realm. So at any point in time, as I understand that, you could pull the plug, so to speak.
Well, not unless the contract, if they got the work done, they could pull the plug within that 9 months and they have no more need for it.
We're working on two separate contracts here. This contract that we're talking about is just for the Harris build out. Dave also has a contract with the county for services provided to the sheriff's office and also to the fire department for upkeep.
Right, and that's an annual contract.
And that's an annual contract. Once this short term contract is complete, he will still be contracted for the county. It'll just revert back to his original annual contract. So this is a secondary contract within his annual confines, just because of the scope of the work, and then direct kind of orchestrating, so to speak, all this installation to make sure everything works, and to learn from Harris how to manipulate and also fix the system. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dave, are you satisfied with that approach?
I'm fine with it. Whatever makes you guys comfortable. You've paid every bill I've ever given you. We've had some discussions. You guys aren't going anywhere. I like my job. So whatever keeps you guys happy that you're comfortable with and you think is fair, then that's good. If I feel uncomfortable, I'll squawk when the time comes. But okay. So
any other comments from the commissioners?
Do we need to talk about the amount that's on that voucher and have that amount approved for the...
Well, it's an extension of that contract.
And there is a monthly amount listed on there.
Yes, it's $3,752.90.
Okay. Do we want to include that in this so that we'll know what the monthly amount is?
Well, I think the motion is to continue the contract on a month-to-month basis. If Chairman Bousman, you want to put that in there. Otherwise, I think it's covered.
It's fine, but it's already in the contract.
Right.
So I don't... Doesn't matter, I don't think, either way.
So if there's any other comments or questions, if not, I'll call the question. We've had a motion and a second to extend the Harris workout contract to Dave's Electronics on a month-to-month basis, not to exceed 9 months. I'll call the question. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. No opposition. Motion carries.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
All right. Appreciate your time, guys. Thank you, guys.
Sid, I guess you're still on the seat.
Mr. Chairman, thanks for having us today. To continue with the previous conversation, the next issue that we are currently trying to address is the Enterprise Tower, which is one of the five tower sites that we're trying to provide equipment on. The Enterprise Tower is critical to the build out of the system. We've recently completed a structural analysis that was included in the original Harris contract. That structural analysis came back and showed that the structure of the Enterprise Tower would fail if we attached our equipment to it. The problem with that structural analysis is they couldn't tell us why exactly it would fail because it was based on a computer model. So Harris has come back. We've asked the question, so what needs to be done to fix the problem? And Harris has come back and said, well, we need to put some more engineering into it. We need to do a site visit and look at the actual concrete and the rebar in the concrete and the soil compaction. And based on further information, we can tell you what exactly needs to be done to correct the problem and repair the tower and be ready to mount the additional equipment that's necessary. But unfortunately, that's outside of the original scope that was included in the contract that we signed with Harris. So the handout that I've just provided you is a quote for $20,875 that Harris has provided. That's their estimate that would be necessary to continue additional analysis on the tower to tell us what needs to be done to repair the tower and be ready to mount the necessary equipment on it. So the reason why I'm here today is I would like approval from the board to tell Harris it's okay to move forward with this proposal and complete the structural analysis necessary to tell us what needs to be done to make the repairs.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Noble. So after we pay the $20,000, there's still no guarantee that they're going to come back and say we can fix it. Or there is a possibility they come back and say it can't be modified to meet the standard we need, correct?
That's correct.
And in previous meetings, you've discussed maybe reaching out to the BLM and other entities for optional locations. How has that been going?
So Dave Smith is
he still in the room?
Yeah. Dave has already reached out to the local BLM office and initiated initiated conversations with the local BLM field office, and I'd defer to him to answer your question in more detail.
There's another site that, from an RF perspective, will work as well, possibly even a little better, depending on exactly where you're at for coverage. It's in the Jonah Field. It's north of the Lumen Road, and the good news is it's in the Pinedale District office's jurisdiction. The Enterprise site is in the Rock Springs office's jurisdiction. Essentially, we get... we have a really good relationship with the local office because they're local. We have not a bad relationship with Rock Springs, but it's the Rock Springs office. None of those people know us. So it is easier to work through our local office for the BLM. Just like Shad said, when they do these structural analyses, they don't want to spend a lot of money, so they don't send field engineers out. They just run the structure, as best information they have on the towers. They run everything worst-case scenario. They make all the assumptions worst-case scenario so that they don't err and tell you it's okay when, in fact, something was wrong that they didn't see and it wasn't okay. So it's not uncommon for them to fail structural analysis. Now, the 20 grand they're talking about is actually to do a proper structural analysis. They send field engineers out. They probe the foundations. They look at the guy wires, so on and so forth, so on and so forth. The most common thing you see with towers from the failing analysis is they re-guy them with new guy wire. This is a 50, 60-year-old tower. And then they'll upgrade the anchors if necessary. That tower has a dog leg in one of the legs. The southern, it's a two-element tower. There are two separate towers that are tied together. The southern tower at about the 30-foot height has a dog leg in it. It's been physically bent. So when somebody sees that, they immediately assume, okay, this tower at some point had something happen. It was either an impact or a heavy load or whatever. You know, there's no history on the tower. There's no logbook for them. So they're making a lot of assumptions, and that no good PE is going to stamp a structural analysis as compliant if he can't absolutely sleep certain at night that it is compliant. And having not seen the tower, not seen the guys, not seen the anchors, they cannot do that. There's a 50-50 chance that after they come out and look at it, they'll have some minor modifications and that tower will be deemed fine. There's also a 50-50 chance that the structural guys will look at it and say, nope, that's a 50, 60-year-old tower of unknown history, and we're simply not going to sign it off until it's re-guided and re-anchored and so on and so forth, and then you start getting into quite a bit of money. It's a rock and a hard spot.
So, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
My question was, is how have you made any progress with moving forward on optional sites?
I have talked to the BLM before the shutdown. Right now we're in shutdown mode. You can't talk to the BLM or the Forest Service. Yes, there is progress made. I have not went to the point where we have to start potentially writing checks. I got a hold of our field rep here, got a detailed list of everything we would need to get for that site. It starts with an ARC survey. I don't know the process that we'll have to go through for an EA, or if we'll even have to do one, because there's currently communication stuff at the ridge in question. There's an air site there, or an environmental monitoring site at some point. It's 1,100 feet from the Lumen Road to where the site is. My assumption is, and this is an assumption, that there's power under or near Lumen Road in the easements. I'm not certain of that. I put in a call to Rocky Mountain Power to find that out, because those are all the kind of things that will determine the cost of the site. If we have to hire a consulting firm to do an EA, then there's that. There's time frame. If we can get by without having to do that, it may not be that expensive. But at this point, I don't have any numbers for you guys.
Chad, the comment is, without regard to price, which we know there's going to be significant price involved, I think the more pressing concern is going to be the delay in terms of the time frame. And I think that moving forward, we may not have an option. If that tower is not structurally sound, I guess we're forced into either repairing it or going to plan B, and that's looking for another site.
That's correct.
On the other hand, we still have an obstacle, because if that site can be fixed minimally to make it structurally sound, we still have to work with Enterprise in terms of whether we can buy it or whether we can lease it or whatever.
Exactly.
So there's some obstacles out there, but the major concern, I would think, moving forward for the county is not so much the price of developing a new site, but the time involvement in terms of delay for that project, which I think after talking to Shad is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 years. So I guess we are, as you well stated, between a rock and a hard place. I think from our standpoint, in that position, we have no choice but to go through and try to get the structural analysis done and then see where we stand and pursue our options as we go forward from there.
We might get lucky too. You know, if you guys are willing to roll the dice for 20 grand, we might get lucky, and the engineers could very well come back and say, you know what, these towers are pretty solid.
Mr. Chairman, this this tower, if we put this money into it, this will become our tower.
No. No.
You're writing a check and holding it up into the breeze.
Okay.
It's not uncommon in the industry. Any time in the communications business, anytime you're the new guy or more the new guy, everything's on you. All the structural, the road, the fence, the doorway that's too small to put your equipment through, the tower that you have to upgrade, the AC you have to upgrade, the newest guy gets to buy all that. That's the way the business works. And it's theirs once you pay for it. It's on their side. So,
but it does help answer the question whether we want to even pursue with trying to get a purchase or lease agreement on this tower.
Right.
But yeah, the onus is on us to pay for that. Or the other other option is to call it off entirely, pursue trying to get a new site and take an indefinite delay when this could be a reasonable fix after we've done the structural analysis.
Also, you're presenting an engineering document that's a legal document because it's stamped by a PE licensed in the state of Wyoming, and you're going to give that to Enterprise. You own that document up until you give it to Enterprise. That has value to them as well because they don't have one of those documents of a good engineering assessment of their tower. So for future tenants, future use, for insurance purposes, that sort of thing, it gives you a little tiny bit of leverage and a little chip, if you will, that is attractive to them. So that may help in your lease negotiations a little. It's not going to be a deal breaker, but it certainly helps if you can provide that to them.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Here again, this is my first day, so bear with me. So we're going to pay $20,875, and that doesn't necessarily say we're going to get a passing grade on this thing.
Oh, we've already failed. Now we're going to pay for a survey to tell us exactly how we failed.
It could range from so very minor to very major.
After we've done that, then we're going to look at this is what's going to cost to fix this thing to where you can go ahead and do it. But that's the unknown. Is that not right?
That is absolutely correct.
And it could be all the way from here to as high as you
could reach. Could be a little bit. Could be cut the guy lines, let the tower fall, and replace it. That's the worst case scenario.
So with going to a new site, then would the county assume ownership of everything that occurs from there on?
We would develop a new site owned by Sublette County with a lease from the BLM to Sublette County, exactly the same as our Hogsback site and our South Rim Kismet site.
But this is going to take, you said 2 years?
I'm just guessing. We don't know, but it's going to be ballpark.
It could be up to that. You know, I have my fingers crossed, and I hope that all the touchy-feely good stuff, you know, that we could get it done next summer. But that's really a stretch.
Do it right now. They're closed.
Right. We could just
go build it right now. 2 years.
It wouldn't be the first time something got built when they were talking, but... Yeah, worst case scenario, a couple of years, and realistically, a year, you know, at least a year. So we'd be looking at summer of 20, probably. I think would be realistic to stand that steel up and have it working potentially faster. But
so in the meantime, in this time frame, what do you do?
And that's the million-dollar question: is it worth you guys spending the money to find out what it's going to take to fix the Enterprise Tower? Essentially, to ask the question and get an honest answer costs you $20,000 or $21,000. Then it's going to cost you more to do the retrofitting structural enhancements on that tower. How much more? We simply don't know. I was surprised it failed, quite honestly. Those towers are super robust. But it's a guy with a computer model that's never seen the site, and he assumes the worst case of everything because he's going to stamp a document.
And it could be a bolt replacement.
It could be a resurvey. Hey, look at that. This thing didn't fail. It's actually more than capable of doing.
Commissioner Noble?
We don't know.
Being the devil's advocate, so let's say they come back and there is some work to be done, minimal or not. We still haven't got permission from Enterprise to build there, have we?
No, we have not.
So we haven't got a lease agreement, we haven't got permission to fix their tower, we haven't got... So we're doing $20,000 worth of work on something that we don't have.
It's not certain.
Well, as stated...
I know.
This will be the third time. Mm-hmm. We are between a rock and a hard place. Now, in that position, we have a choice of paying the $21,000 to get the structural analysis to know what we're potentially facing in the charge, knowing full well that even once we do that, we haven't got a contract for a lease or a purchase or whatever. The hard place is we start over, we look for a new site, we'll pursue that down the road, but knowing full well that's going to cost us a year, 18 months, 2 years to move forward. So is it a roll of the dice? From my perspective and my standpoint, what the work has been done thus far and the time nature involved in this and trying to get this up and going for the safety and security of the county, I think we need to spend the $21,000 to find out, is this thing structurally sound or not? There is some chance, as Dave just mentioned, that this computer model was wrong, using the worst case scenario, and the thing could be structurally sound as is. On the other hand, it could be a $500,000 fix. We don't know.
Right.
In my opinion, it's worth pursuing going forward with the almost $21,000 to do the analysis.
If you guys were in the corporate world, this question never would have came before the board. The money would have been spent, and then you would have saw a report of what they spent to give you the yes or no data that determines government's a little more, you know, better accountability for the funds. But it's not an excessive price for a structural analysis to put people in the field, and somebody's going to sign it and stamp it with a licensed engineer, and that's what you're paying for. I mean, you're paying for the liability of somebody to put their name on it and say, I certify that this will do what you need it to do.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Powell.
Mr. Chairman, at one time was not Enterprise going to give us that tower.
Yes.
I think we need some feedback from them, and it's probably not inappropriate to ask them, what are they willing to do if we're going to put this kind of money into figuring out what it's going to do to make the tower where it's usable? Are they then, once we've spent that money, are they going to turn around and say, well, geez, we'll lease it to you for $100,000 a year? We need an, I think we need some communication with them to figure that out.
They've been talked to quite a bit, Shad and the sheriff, and a little bit myself. They kind of got us a little bit, because originally they were going to transfer the lease to us up until they realized that we were going to get a generator approved there. And once that they got that in writing from the BLM, then that deal was off. And you know, now they've got their writing from the BLM that says they can have a generator at that site. They want to keep the site. They weren't that interested in it when they couldn't have a generator there. Quite frankly, I have a bad taste in my mouth personally from someone that does that to us from just a business, ethical, moral dealing. You know, they let us do the dirty work, get the BLM to sign it off, and then once they had it documented well in email, they called the deal off. As a site owner, that's the privilege of ownership. You know, you're the new guy, Sublette County, figuratively speaking. We're going to have to do all the data and all that stuff. And to get a lease, they're going to want copies of all of that. And that's pretty much the way the communication real estate world works. And the decision we make, like the doc says, is do we want to be there or not? If we want to be there, we write the checks, we do what we got to do, we play nice with them, give them what they want or not. But in the end, that's the final decision. Do you want to be on the side or not?
But you're perfectly correct, because at one time they weren't anticipating giving it to us. And it had to do with the generator and the carbon emissions and the carbon count. And once they found out that they weren't going to be held to that, they were forgiven that, and they could allow the generator. I guess the price of poker went up, and they reconsidered it. We don't have much of a bargaining position with them. And if we're going to attempt to bargain with them, I think we're going to need to know how much it's going to cost to bring that tower up to standards. We'll find out spending $21,000 whether it's a no-go or not, or we may find out that it's something minimal that we can then begin hardcore discussions with. And if those don't work, we have no option but to move forward. We're trying to find a new site. Finding a new site is not just dependent upon getting the graces of the BLM. It's not just dependent upon the price that we put into building that tower, developing that new site, but it changes the whole formula when you go back to Harris and they have to redo the frequencies based on where that new site is. So it gets to be quite extensive. I think if we take it step by step, spend the 21,000 or close to 21,000, at least we're to the point that we can make a sound decision based on the structural integrity of that tower.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Noble.
I have two things. First one being, I'd like to make sure that you guys are exhausting every avenue as far as a new site, paralleling, moving forward with this one. Because we've been going through this with a year with Enterprise, and we don't seem to ever get ahead. So with that being said, I'll make a motion that we move forward with the engineering study for $20,875 to determine whether the tower is feasible.
Bernard, is your recommendation at the same time we work with BLM?
Well, not spend money. My motion was the second part. My first one was, is please continue to move forward with a secondary site.
And that's in process.
I'm all over that. Diligently. Because yes.
That's the direction. I don't think we need a motion for that. But we have
that
a,
wasn't my, yeah, that was not part of my motion. Right. My motion was to
we have a motion to approve the dollar amount to move forward with the structural analysis of the Enterprise Tower.
I will second the motion for the discussion.
Motion's been moved and seconded. I think we've kind of exhausted ourselves on discussion, but if you have anything else you'd like to discuss, lead away.
Go ahead.
My suggestion is, and I will support the motion with the understanding that we start communicating with these guys and figure out if we bring that thing up to standard to where we put a tower on it, what are you gonna stick us for? We need some feedback from them. Are they going to, you know, once we put this money in it, say we $20,000 tells us for $150,000 it's going to be a usable tower. We go ahead, we put in $150,000, and they say, well, geez, we got a good tower now. We're going to charge you $100,000 a year to use it.
Right.
We need those questions asked ahead of time.
Well, I differ a little bit in that opinion from the standpoint of, neither us nor Enterprise knows what the structural defects in that tower is. And from a negotiating standpoint, it might behoove us to know just what the problem is before we... I don't know that they would move forward with negotiations. Chad?
Mr. Chairman, to address Commissioner Bowsen's question, we've already presented a draft lease agreement to Enterprise to build the site out, place our equipment on their tower. They came back to us after we presented the draft lease agreement and said, we need to see the structural analysis and understand and have confirmation that placing Sublette County's equipment on the tower won't cause any negative impact to their property. And that's where the current status is, and that's the direction we're moving, is to complete the structural analysis, to finalize their request to us, to give them confirmation that the placing our equipment on their tower won't cause any negative harm.
And that's with that explanation, I'm good with the motion.
Yeah. My question is that one of the big hang-ups was the frequencies. Mm-hmm. And are we moving forward with the frequencies? Or are we 6 months, 8 months, a year away on the free, or are you not able to answer that question?
Accurately, we can't answer that question. Harris is telling us that they're pretty close. The UHF stuff is done, the VHF stuff, they're close. But, they tell us this stuff based on their best information. The commission, in the end, the FCC, are the people who grant them. And they can change their mind or pick and choose which ones they want to issue. And there's very little that the corporate world, there's nothing the corporate world can do about it because the frequencies are owned by the FCC. They're public domain. We're closer on the frequencies. There is no guarantee on time. My personal feeling is once we do get our call signs and our frequencies, we're going to find out that when they actually measure it in the field, which we have begged them since before the contract even existed, we begged everybody to come look, measure, that some of the frequencies we intend to use will be problematic and we'll have to back up and change frequencies. Harris has listened to our complaints about that recently, and they've got a contingency plan of several other frequencies in the band that are going to be licensed in addition to the ones that they think they need for the system. So they're starting to listen to us and get a few, try to get a few extra. You know, that's just an empirical process that has to be sorted out when the system build out and the RF designers and engineers are here. That being said, they have to build the combiners, which are essentially, think of a trombone slide, Those combiners are cans, and they're put in a rack, and they're a physical thing that has to be created and designed and tuned for a specific frequency. So there are limitations to the physical radio infrastructure that are based on those frequencies, and that's why it's so important to get the frequencies licensed and frequency coordinated, which is an engineering study, and then licensed through the FCC. The short answer to your question is we don't know. The longer answer is we're much closer now than we have been, and everyone feels that in the next month to 2 months we should have our frequency list finally pinned down. And it's been problematic for me because for all of our applications with the BLM, for our extension on Hogsback, for Kismet, for all this stuff, White Pine, we have to tell them what frequencies we're going to use. And then they email that out and send that hard copy snail mail to all the other users. And they say, all you other users, Sublet County wants to use these particular frequencies. Does that cause a problem for you? Then those other users have 30 days to get back with the BLM and respond, yes, it does, or no, it doesn't. If they respond, yes, it does, like some of the issues we had on Kismet, then we go and figure out all the mitigation for that. So it's an ever-changing, snowballing process that is just simply nebulous and painstakingly slow.
So I guess the reason I asked the question is we've got a working with the BLM. We all understand how that's time-consuming. We also understand that we may have to spend $20,000 to get this. So I'm leaning towards doing them both because we're working on this project to get our...
We're absolutely working with the BLM right now on the other site. That's for the Jonah. Mm-hmm. We've got the site pinned down. We've given them the location. You know, that is in progress, and the government shutdown stopped that progress temporarily for now. So that's ongoing as we speak. And
so
we're going to continue with that up until the point where we have to start spending money, and then you guys are going to be the first to hear about that because it's a good site. And in the long term, whatever we want to define as long term, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we're going to be on that site.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we need to be as a down the road goal.
Well, when you talk about money, this $20,000 is small potatoes.
It really
from
is.
What we've spent.
It really is, and you know, you're paying for information.
Yep.
I move the previous question.
Okay, question's been called. We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed?
Yes.
One opposition. Okay, one nay. Motion carries, 4-1. Okay, we're getting behind on schedule, so I guess, Chad, are you still have business for us?
Contract there. The contract before you is I was under the impression this was already done. I just found out that the contractor that was planning to come in and do the remodel of the Pinedale Fire Station was waiting on final signature of that contract, and it was sitting at the attorney's office, and then with the owner's representative with Todd Hurd. I just received this morning, and Carrie was able to present it to the board, but without the board's signature on that contract, the contractor will not be able to begin work, and they're currently waiting. They're ready to start today on the work. We just need to sign the dotted line there and allow them to begin work.
So is this something we've already approved?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need another motion. We've approved the work to Premier Site Development for the interior walls construction on the firehouse.
Let me phrase that different. Todd Hurd has been the one that's been meeting with the board and moving this project forward. I can't speak to what Todd has ever done. I was under the impression he would be here today actually to present this contract, but I don't believe that's the case. So I can't speak to the current status of what the board has moved or not.
So has this contract been reviewed by Matt Gaffney?
Yes.
That was my question.
You know,
what's that?
Has he reviewed his contract?
Yes.
So you have, Matt has.
Yes.
it's, you know, in terms of doing business, it's not like, it's not how we want to do it going forward, but I understand in the backlog, this is something that was already in place, it just failed to come forward for signatures. Looking at the contract, it's already been signed by Premier Site Development. The very least, we're going to have to change my name because my first, second, or third name is not Richard. And that's what's on the contract. But I would entertain a motion to accept this contract from Premier Site Development to do the previously agreed upon and approved work on the Pinedale Fire Hall. Is there an amount on this contract?
It's a time and materials contract.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept the contract with Premier Site Development.
Did we not already discuss this?
We did.
Mm-hmm. Approve it? So why do we need to?
I think that's my understanding too.
I think we did already do this.
We discussed it. I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you if we, if this is just for approval or if it's just for signature. At any rate, if it's for signature with previous approval, mm-hmm. it'll be for Andy to sign. The problem is the date that it was signed by Premier Site is the 7th, and apparently the situation is that they're on standby and ready to start work. Yeah. So for the sake of...
Do we need to talk to Todd Hurd? Get him on a phone call or something to find out if he's covered all the bases on this.
Yeah, that would be a reasonable thing to do.
Sir, let me see if he'll answer, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Chad?
I was just going to say, I spoke to Todd yesterday, and he was good with it, too. This came from Todd to Matt Gaffney, and then back to Matt, or it went back and forth several times. And
oh, okay.
I think that they covered their bases.
It sounds like it's covered.
Well, I guess my question is, we still need a motion if I'm going to sign it, because any previous motion would be left up to the mm-hmm. previous chairman to sign. So I still think we need a motion to approve this.
Mr.
Motion.
Chairman,
go ahead. I stand with my motion.
Need a second. Okay. So we don't need that. We have a motion and a second to approve the contract with Premier Site Development for the work for time and materials on the Pinedale Fire Hall. Is there any further discussion?
Refresh my memory as to what this work entails.
This is the office space of the Pinedale Fire Station, and this is creating walls to create an office space for our part-time employees to work from. Okay. And this is what we budgeted for in the budget session.
Any other questions, Chairman Vick or Mr. Vickery? Commissioner Vickery? I'll pass this chair. I want to. If not, I'll call a question. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. No opposition. Motion carries. We'll just need to change the name of it.
Okay. I will I'll work with Matt Gaffney and
or just get it back to me this afternoon.
Get that corrected. Yes, that. Sir. Okay. Thank you. That's all I have. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks, Chad. Thank
Sheriff, do you have anything else you want to update us on?
Yeah,
come on up. Yeah.
I'm going to allow Kenna to go first, our search and rescue administrator. She has some 2018 statistics from the missions that were done.
Yeah, just kind of recap. Thank you again for your support on behalf of the volunteers and on behalf of Sibley County. It was kind of a cool year. A bunch of firsts this year. We had our first year of 5 live short haul missions. This was the first year we've actually done a double short haul evac where we carried 2 people off the cliff at the same time. We've always just gone in, you know, one at a time and plucked them off. We started the year and ended the year with avalanches, so I don't know if it's good or bad. But it's definitely out there. The avalanche we had at the beginning of 2018 was the first in a long time that we've had to deal with, and luckily that gentleman survived. So incredible team effort, and then of course ended the year with helping bring out the fatality. So we've had a lot of interest from the public of awareness, which coincides with this weekend. We have planned our public Abbey awareness clinic. And then and we'll do that on Saturday. And then Sunday, we're actually taking the whole day and doing big team scenario training. So the guys are prepping all week for that. So we'll have a one that's been set off up there, hidden somewhere. And then the team will be made aware of it on Sunday. So good refreshers. Can't train enough. We helped 12, or we helped fellow counties out 12 different times this past year for them calling to for assistance. And that was from the spring all the way down to just the last couple months. We helped Fremont County 4 different times. Teton and Park County, we went and assisted them twice this summer. And then Sweetwater, Johnson, Lincoln County, and Albany County all called for assistance this year too. So to have the calls come from across the state asking for assistance, you know, that means a lot to us. You know, we take that very serious. And it all goes back to the education that we've had, but more so it's the time taken by the volunteers, because these guys are taking time off work, taking their own vacation time, and heading across the state to help people that are in trouble. So that means a lot to us. So with that,
Can I just briefly, how many of those calls for assistance involve the helicopter?
Nine of the 12.
Thank you.
So, to you. So this is our breakdown of the year. And I'll just pass them back around if you want. So about 35 active members this that we ended the year. We had 37 missions, and we almost we put just under 4,200 hours of volunteer time that the guys took off work to help. It's a great breakdown on the months of the year. You can definitely tell what month of the year we were busy. If that tells you at all the activity level and what's happening during the month of September, that pretty much says it all. And that broke down to age groups, male, female. How the calls came into dispatch is important to us. Seeing we see technology really changing that every year, whether it be PLBs, which are those personal locating beacons, cell phones, sat phones. Is it simply that the family members have called? Third cousin twice removed called because they didn't show up to work. However, it should be. It's interesting to see. Over the years, with my involvement from the late 90s, it's been interesting to see the change of what the missions were. Were they primarily search and rescues? Were they searches, rescues, or recoveries? And you can see that predominantly Sublette County takes care of rescues, and that definitely changed from the early 90s when it was predominantly searches. And so people are able to call and say, hey, I'm in a bind, come get me. And so that's kind of changed the preface of what we're doing. So, questions?
Do your volunteer numbers staying pretty flatline? Are you having a hard time keeping volunteers?
We definitely go up and down. We were definitely at 42 at the beginning of the year, and we're at 35 right now. Volunteerism is an ever-changing duck that... it really is changing over the years. The commitment, obviously the hours of training and that commitment, it makes it tough. Mm-hmm. So we have great people come in with incredible backgrounds and trainings that want to help out. And then when they realize the time commitment, and we have people that are committed and on the team, but then when it comes down to when that phone calls, or when it rings for a call to happen, getting time off work is tough. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, so we're always recruiting, always looking for.
You were at 42, now you're at 30s.
35.
Is there anything we can do to help that? Do you have any ideas?
I wish I knew the magic answer to that. I think your continued support, which you guys have been incredible on, as far as we have the training, we have the equipment we need. And I think the continued access to that and allowing us to get the job done in a timely, efficient, safe manner is as important as anything. And you guys have done well with that.
Yeah, and to add to that, I think it goes from the beginning is just your support. Your support of search and rescue, because when we go on a mission, people see us. And on these, I can say for 3 missions here this past year, that we've garnered volunteers because they've seen what we do, and they say, I want to be a part of that team.
So just by doing what we do, we're getting volunteers in that we wouldn't have gotten just off the street. So again, I mean, thank you for your support. You know, in the past, and this is something I can work out with you, Chairman, is I would just usually get Andy a call if the helicopter is needed outside of the county, and then he would give me the yes or no, and then we can proceed as so. If that's something you want to continue,
yes, sir.
Okay. So, and if you need to confer with the rest of the chairman, then I'm fine with that too. So.
Right. And not only the helicopter. I mean, that definitely is within our. It's stated in our policy that we make those phone calls before anything's released from the county. But I think maybe any of our big equipment. You know, our boat's been used. Our boat team's been called several times, out of state. Maybe letting you all know that what we have and where it's going to be.
Okay.
Yep. Mr. Chairman,
I'd like to ask a question. So, and I know some of these rescue missions because I see the stuff show up on the websites, and that can be life-threatening to those who go in. So my question is, under those circumstances, the people you bring back, do you ever get a thank you in the form of, wow, here's $500, here's $1,000, and those kind of donations do come in, and to what degree, really?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. And that's always a great question that I think everybody wonders, because we are county supported, but we have a nonprofit, a 501c3 that was created in order to be able to accept those monetary donations that people bring in afterward or send in after a mission. Probably 98% of the time we get thank yous from everybody involved. Half of those, that's a good question. Probably over half of those have a monetary donation. But it could be from a simple a box of cookies. We've had a couple 6-packs of pop to, you know, checks written. To
maple syrup from Wisconsin.
Exactly.
Hard to turn that down.
That went fast. So people are very appreciative, and they definitely show that. And that's something that we make sure that each team member is made aware of, and that definitely those that were involved in were acknowledged and know that those people are thinking of them, because they wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the efforts that our team goes.
So. Thank you.
Yeah, I hope that. Did that answer your question?
Yep, it did.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. Is there anything else for me? So we're just plugging away.
Getting a reputation statewide. I hear it from other commissioners.
So, and we've moved up to national. Our snow machine team has just received national recognition for the only team in the United States that is certified.
At a pro level one avalanche certification.
That's pretty impressive. And again, these are volunteers.
Yeah.
So that is kudos to them.
Yep. And I have to say, Commissioner Brosman, your support and sharing what we do has made huge strides.
All the way to the steps of Washington, D.C.
You know it, the big dogs. Thank you very much for that continued help.
Video of press of senators and representatives.
But without the PILT and the SRS, we couldn't fund it.
So that wouldn't be an option. Yeah. You know, and we always have to remind you that is just one of the tools in our massive toolbox that we have. Mm-hmm. But that helicopter definitely has made a difference. It's a lot of money. There's a lot of risk. There's a lot of planning that goes on, and decisions that are made before the keys ever turned on that thing.
But it's proven that it has saved lives, literally.
Yeah.
People would have died up in our mountains if not for that helicopter. Thanks, Kenna.
All right. Well, let's speak. Thanks, guys.
See you. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. So I've asked Mike to join me on this next, and I believe Mary sent out an email to everybody. So this involves the WASI Tech server upgrade request for the camera systems. We upgraded the camera systems for the entire county complex last year, and in doing so, we've kind of run our limits, so to speak, in other areas of IT. The biggest one being our discovery requests from the county attorney's office and the courts, where we have to download videos for prosecution and defense. And the time that it takes is
exceedingly long. Our detective right now that's doing that starts them at night because they're taking anywhere from 6 to 8 hours to download a video. So I'll let Mike kind of give some expertise on reasoning behind and what we need to do to fix that.
Basically, we can talk around, you know, everybody, but with the old system, and Joel, you've been in the basement with us, we had some coax coming in, we had some digital, we had some analog, we had some everything. Well, we built the system to handle that around those variances. But when we did the camera upgrade throughout the courthouse and the jail and everything, we put in all high-def IP cameras, so everything now is streaming into that one small system at just the very best resolution and everything possible. And the bandwidth, the tunnel's just not big enough in the equipment. So the things in there are switches, routers, and stuff like that that are now, rather than handling 10 megabyte throughput, we got a 1 gig throughput. So it allows for the superhighway, if you will, for the equipment to pass or the information to pass. We've got control monitoring, I believe it's like 58 cameras at a given time. Everybody that's up on Spillman, all that stuff slows everything down in the sheriff. If you guys think it's slow up here, you go downstairs and they're all just, in relative terms, they're putting through. And so this is to try and take some of that load off the sheriff's network, move it over to a camera network system so that it takes it and allows Toby and his guys, most importantly, to be able to do it. But we have lags and videos even from control that see a guy and all of a sudden next frame, if you will, they see him over here. There's a whole passage point where we've lost that guy. We can get it through, you know, going back into the server and finding it on the recording, but in actual real time, they're not seeing the people. You can't watch a person from one end of the hallway to another, so something in there could be missed. All this equipment is to facilitate making that go away and allow the discovery videos to be made in a timely manner so they can do more than one a day when they're trying to do that.
So discovery video is a video of a court proceeding? Is that?
No, it's a recording. It's four cameras. It's the Sally Port, where they bring a prisoner in, if you will.
Okay.
The dispatch hallway, where you can see how that person act, and then booking and booking two. There are two different views of the same booking area. And then the booking one has also audio, which again, now you're just compounding that problem. But those are the discovery videos that are just about for every case that's going to go to court. They have to provide it for the attorney's office, then the defendant's attorney, all these people. So the investigations is forced to make one on most every case.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
How old is the current system, on average?
No, I did it shortly after I took over, so 4 years. And most of our stuff is built around being replaced every 3 years, so we needed it anyhow. But
and this system here, what's the expectancy out of it?
Well, again, we could do 3 to 5 years for sure, but part of that too depends on, are we going to add another dozen cameras or, you know,
right.
Which we have no design right now to add cameras. Thank God.
We've replaced everything that was current.
Every camera in here.
And that's replaced. That's not just, you know, jail, sheriff. That is assessors, clerks, across the street for the county attorney's office.
So
is this particular system just directed primarily at the jail, or is it going to
it's
courtroom security, everything?
There is the camera system hub is what this is.
Okay.
Now, it does start with jail sheriff's office and that, but it is our building. We're linked into the district court, the circuit court, and as well as the attorney's office. So it all ties in and goes through there. It's recorded, monitored, and that's another thing too, is big data bank. I mean, it's data. The data space is finite, but we've got the matrixes in place where certain levels of video, talking with the sheriff and the jail, we've worked together, they're set up on timers, so they only store so long big cases, big important stuff, a year, some 2 weeks, some 3 weeks, and up here on our floors, 1 week, that kind of stuff. So we don't kill a lot of space, but if you end up with a lot of DUIs, you're talking about a lot of your videos, you know, that kind of stuff happens.
A lot of this is for litigation, too. Civil suits, whether it be courts, whether it be an inmate that's in the jail on, you know, whether it's a slip and a fall or mistreatment. And we, you know, go back and can, you know, record these and prove to the offender and also his counsel, you know, hey, this is what happened. So,
Chairman, in memory of Andy Nelson, I'm going to ask this next question. Obviously, you don't have this in your budget. And where do we have the money?
We get the money.
So
the email explained. We've got an IT.
We've got it in kind of communications.
It's been a spare that we've been keeping. Mary and I worked out of it for years when these big things come up. Sheriff and I have talked. Going forward, each year we're going to sit with all departments, and then I'm going to ask for an additional budget line for these kind of things that keep surprising us. Technology is something that every year, all of a sudden, something's like, oh shit, we didn't do the. But,
beep.
But it, you know, it, there's always that thing that blindsides us, and Mary's been able to pull that out and ensure that means are still there. But if we can start looking and kind of be proactively knowing that something's going to come up and start budgeting for it, we're going to do that going forward. And working with the department so that we can kind of say, well, you know.
But there is a reserve account set up for IT.
There is.
IT.
Yes. But the sheriff's office, for some reason, has really been the one that has borne the brunt of these surprise things in the last few years. So this is one that we really need to get him kind of up in, you know, that department. And this is a huge step.
So what you're asking for is the commissioners to approve the proposal from Wasatech for the routers, the servers, and the storage?
Correct.
In the amount of $43,637.34?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay.
Cost to government.
We have a motion to
that. I'm tired of making money. I mean, losing money.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Been moved that we accept the proposal from Wasatech.
Second.
Do we have a second? Second by Mr. Noble. Is there any other questions or comments for these gentlemen?
Is there going to be any surprises come back to us? Any Wasatech miss anything here, you think? Or I know that's hard for you to predict.
Oh, no. I can say that there will not be. And I will get, unlike the last one I listened to, I will give you tangible results here in a very short period of time. And it will be up. And
you get to see pictures, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yeah.
So when the new cameras were all installed, was there not in the back of your mind, we may have to upgrade something, the server, for instance, to take care of this?
Well, we periodically do upgrade it, and we thought the problem was the company that was doing it, that was another one of those. We made a few changes along the way while it's being done, and those kind of things that annoy everybody. And so when it was all said and done, it was like, oh, well, we were making it work. One of the things I was able to do is I downgraded the resolutions and stuff from several camera feeds. That, to me, the server then could handle it better. But for the sheriff's office, and especially in control, it made it very difficult because now they don't have the clarity that they needed to be able to see it. So as we upped that, then we found these shortcomings. So they were not foreseeable, and we didn't predict them. But as we use the capabilities that these new cameras in the system have, it definitely has presented problems on the storage and the operating end. The cameras are fine. Our back end to it isn't where it should be for 120 high resolution cameras.
Any other questions? If not, we'll have a motion in a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposition? No. Motion carries. Okay. Thank you.
My last thing for you, I need to know the real name, way will you spell your last name?
Absolutely, because that's not it.
Correct. Okay. Then your email is right now, but it wasn't if that is. So,
you're talking email. I had a request from WCCA for Doug's email, and I said, hopefully we'll have it today.
Oh, it's already set up.
It's set up.
It's okay. First dot, last name.
Is it Doug or Douglas? How are you doing
it? It's Doug.
Yeah.
Doug.Vickery@sublawile.com.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'll write that down.
Then he's on the machine, so when we send something to the commissioners.
He has no ability to receive email yet. He doesn't have a device.
Oh,
somebody's
got
to get him a phone, a computer, or something.
So, I'll bring a computer in tomorrow.
Yeah, he can have an operating mind, too.
My mail runs twice a week.
Oh, see? No. So, that, too, is the other side of it. I mean, we've got to. Sure. Change the distribution group for sure, but there's nothing receiving it yet.
But we change the distribution for the clerk? I mean, if we put, do we have carries? How do we, never mind, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Got it.
Thanks.
Not a problem. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it.
All right. We're a little bit behind, but let's have a 5-minute recess and then we'll get done or reconvene with Jim Mitchell.
Okay. And I have
I thought you were done.
A couple more
apologize.
Things. Nope, that's all right. And I'll go fast just to kind of give you up status date of the offices. So Steve Smith is one of our dispatchers. He's leaving. His last day is January 10th. Own terms. They're moving to Washington to pursue some. So Anna can pursue some higher education and also with the Democratic Party. He's been with us for 13 years. We announced that job opening at the beginning of the year. So we're taking in candidates until February 4th. Betty Mosica, as you all know, retired last week. She served 11 years with the Sheriff's Office. We had opened up that position. We have selected a candidate, but are just waiting for a background check to offer that individual the position down there as deputy clerk. So right now, the office in Marbleton is open Tuesdays and Thursdays. We're just going to rotate our secretaries downstairs. One will go down every Tuesday and Thursday, so we keep that office open until we get that position filled. So, and then the last, I know we've brought this up before, but we are really hurting in the jail. It was evident last night. We had another fight between inmates, and we did not have a deputy that could respond. We had to break protocol and send one of our tower detention officers down to intervene and break up the fight. The other officer was in the med room at the time with another inmate, and then our last officer was doing an escort at that time. So our numbers haven't gone down. They've actually gone up. November we were averaged 26. December we averaged 31 inmates in the facility. So I've been asked by the administrator of the jail to see what we can't do to maybe get another position started so we can at least start the hiring process. This is going to be one outside. We are at full staff, so this would be an extra position that we would be asking for. Realizing that if this were to go through, that we'd have to go and amend our budget because we did not budget for this during last year. But we're at that point where this is two fights in the last month that we've had between inmates in the jail, and I'm just worried somebody's going to get injured severely, whether one of our detention deputies or one of the inmates. It's almost become a safety issue.
So when do you anticipate, I guess you've made that decision, you're going to be moving forward with that?
I would, if that's what it requires, if you want me to make the request today.
To approve something beyond his existing budget.
Right. Right.
Well, I understand that, but I meant in terms of the formality of the request. Is that being done at this time? Is that going to be done in the future? Are you prepared to do that?
I'm prepared to do that today. I think with the numbers over the years, and they're not decreasing, our responsibilities are increasing with court security, medical transports. We are undermanned, understaffed for the jail as we sit today.
So you're currently asking the commissioners today to approve moving forward with hiring another individual for the jail?
Please, yes.
Would that be called a detention officer?
A detention officer, yes.
Mr. Chairman, then what we would have to do from a budgetary standpoint, we would have to figure out where we get the money.
Well, and I think it's going to require, as the sheriff stated, we're going to have a budget hearing in order to for him to adjust his budget and move money into that account. So that's a given. But first, we've got to get to the position that we as a commission are approving moving forward with the request for another detention officer.
Mr. Chairman, question for Terry then. When do you anticipate your next budget transfer?
That would be in March.
Not until March.
And if the chairman may, can I ask questions? Last time, whenever Dunning was here, it was mentioned that this process takes several months, and that it would also be cutting down on your overtime.
Yes.
So money's kind of there if you started. I mean, we start the new budget in July.
Or June and July.
Yeah.
It's still, and that's, it'll take us 3 to 6 months just to do the hiring process for a detention deputy. Right now, so Steve broke down the cost again for overtime just for the month of December. That's somewhere. So December again. So November we are 213 hours overtime. December we were 210. So it's maintained, and I don't foresee it going down that much. So the question that I'm proposing to you today is if I can get permission to start the hiring process for another detention.
In likelihood, if you started the process today, you're not going to fill that position for 3 months, and we're going to be at the normal time that we would have a budget hearing in March anyway. Okay, I understand. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, reflecting back to the conversation when Steve was here, one basically was covered by the overtime piece. I mean,
yes, one
close,
position.
Close.
Yep.
But you were asking for three at that point. Is one sufficient today?
If we can start one today, then when we hit budget in June, we can relook at our stats. If we need to start another position or need to ask for another position, then we can do it at that time or budget for that position, so to speak, when June comes around. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's feasible to do more than one just because we're tying up an FTO, a field training officer, during that time. We don't have the resources to do two at the same time. Yeah.
So Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
So are there, don't laugh, everybody, but are there physical requirements? Because it sounds to me like if you've got a great big dude down there and there's a fight going on, they look at this guy, probably it's going to help in that regard. So my question is, seriously, are there physical requirements that would precipitate hiring of this individual? In other words, if I come in fat and out of shape and too old versus somebody that's like The Rock,
mm-hmm.
you're going to look at him and say, wow, that's the guy we've got to have because he can take care of everything that we need.
Yeah, so there's just there's state requirements in order to become post-certified as a detention officer, and we also have our local physical qualifications as well. So we actually, in our pool, in our hiring process, we actually eliminate several candidates because they cannot physically pass those requirements.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant the sheriff his request to move forward.
Second by Commissioner Bousman. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor of allowing the sheriff to pursue with hiring another detention officer, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposition? Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's all I had, so thanks. Sorry for going over.
Glad we got it covered.
All right. Yeah.
Take a 5-minute break, and then we'll get started with Tim. I imagine this time we're not going to sign a check.
Yeah, I guess
so. We don't have a plan.
Oh. I have
them. I don't think we're
going to. Oh, okay. Okay.
So, just so you know, so we're going to spend $25 for this study.
I agree with everything you're thinking.
Okay.
But we are in a rock and a hard place. This whole time here, and we say yes.
Well, it may very well be, but I'm telling you, if you're looking down the road, we're not going to own a damn thing. We're going to repair their tower. Who knows what it's going to be. So, and I don't know all that goes on with picking a site.
Let me give you kind of a history of how this got here. Do you want to do that?
Yes, sir.
So, we went into contract, we put out an RFP, which is best for time, and Harris won that bid. And it was to build a new two-way mic and system for an emergency Harris won.
There
was a huge controversy because we had wildland connections. So the state was pissed at us because we're building our own system.
Oh, yeah.
And then finally someone from the state showed up here.
Yeah.
And listened to what we were doing, and they realized that we were bettering the capabilities of the whole state with our system. And they got on board and actually commended us for being so
proactive.
Because wildlife is failing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And our system that we are building, which is $4 million, will actually, for example, let's say the state on state. System floods, goes down. Our system picks up the state system and carries it to the other system. We are the only redundant thing the state has. So at the point when they realized all that, they got bored.
I wish.
And that actually helped us out.
For that salary?
With the white
pines.
They were the ones that were trying to do
that.
Along the white pines, we couldn't extend the tower because of tribal.
Yeah.
I'm
glad you guys are moving forward.
So the state can actually move
forward
and help us negotiate as the only tribes. It's a big deal. We got it done in a record amount of time. Thanks to Shad and Casey and Dave.
Of course, the staff is on there.
So after that,
we expected that.
Oh, yeah.
In the beginning,
they waste the dollars and the dollars that went back.
I said, oh, hell yeah. If you want that tower, you can have it. They didn't want it. And it went back to just what Dave said. Once we went through the legwork and approved, got the agreement to approve generator and set the rest of it.
That's always the thing.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah,
you can't turn on work in the shower.
No,
so
yeah, you can't have it.
It's not easy for us. A good year from now.
So then,
yeah.
Enterprise has,
and you keep referring to
become really.
I was hoping to, but.
Yeah,
well.
Right.